door is open, the welcome mat is out, and this is It's All About Relationships on Vivid Life Radio. My name is Edie Weinstein, and together we'll be exploring what relationships are really all about. Sometimes they're light and playful, sometimes messy and challenging. Our guests are transformational teachers and authors, artists and musicians in this realm that makes life so sweet. So sit back and relax and enjoy the ride.
Welcome to It's All About Relationships. I'm your host, Edie Weinstein, and just as every week, I bring you the most amazing guests from all over the planet who have wisdom to share. And the word wisdom jumped out at me because it's part of the title of a book that my guest today has written. The music that ushers us into the show was written by my friends Rick Denzine and Deborah Lee of Lyra Project. Their website is www.lyraproject.com. Now, the other word in the title is animal. The book is called Animal Wisdom, Learning from the Spiritual Lives of Animals, and it was written by a veterinarian named Linda Bender. Linda is based in South Carolina, and she tells me that it's pretty chilly there, too. I'm speaking to you from the Philadelphia area, where it's probably in the, low double digits and wind chill factor, but it's going to be nice and cozy tonight because we're going to be talking about one of our favorite subjects, which is animals. She wrote the book as a way of talking about sharing the ideas that animals are more than just four-legged beings that populate the planet, that they have feelings, they have intelligence, they have spiritual guidance and wisdom to offer to us. And she calls herself an animal advocate, a passionate animal advocate, and we're going to hear some of that tonight. So Linda, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. So were animals always a big part of your life, even in childhood?
Oh, yes. Yes. I have been speaking about the sacred relationship between humans and animals for a very long time. And it's been part of my life forever, and I didn't even realize. But I was asked one day after talk, a woman came up and said, "Linda, I love your stories. I enjoy your work. But what was it like when you first connected to animals?" And I thought, and I could not come up with a time because I couldn't remember a time before. Mm-hmm. And so I actually spent a lot of time thinking about it afterward, and I came up with one story, the earliest story I could remember, which ended up being put in the book in the beginning, and it was the story of me and a little bunny rabbit mm-hmm. out in my parents' backyard. And if people have read the book, they know the story. I can share it if you'd like me to, but I really don't remember a distinct time before I was ever connected. But the story I'm speaking of is, I must have been about 5 or 6 years old, but I was awakened in the middle of the night about 2 a.m. To the sound of screaming, and it didn't sound like human screaming. But I got my parents up, we got a flashlight and went outside, and there on the second tier of our backyard, I grew up in New Jersey, but it was a very wooded area at the time. And there in the ground in a tiny little heap was a baby bunny, and mom wasn't around, and this little bunny had obviously had some sort of near-death experience, was terrified. And I scooped that little bunny up and brought that little being inside and told my parents I was going to stay up all night and hold that bunny and lie down on the kitchen floor and held the bunny to my chest so the little guy could feel my heartbeat and feel my breathing. And, of course, I fell asleep, but before I did, as I was holding that bunny, I was overwhelmed by an immense sense of love that was actually, as I remember, swirling around me. It was nothing I could have described at the time other than this huge sense of love that I had never felt before. It felt that it was bigger than all of us, bigger than me, bigger than the bunny. It was in some way in charge of everything. It was that mm-hmm. universal love, that source that awakened through that experience and with me and the bunny, and I've never lost that. And mm-hmm. I'm very fortunate because as a child, no one told me that wasn't right. So it mm-hmm. was my reality, and on some level, animals imprinted on me because my experiences with them were so real, often more real than the ones inside with the humans. Yeah. So it's been
people
a
often
lifelong.
Say that, but yeah. People yes. often say that they have better relationships or easier relationships with animals than with people. Why do you think that is? Is it the unconditional love that people often experience with animals?
Well, I believe that I can only use myself as an example there, but you're right. You know, so many people say this, but animals are like a bridge, and they live in the present moment. They understand and exist in a connection to Source directly. And offer that to us. We're all hardwired to have that experience. We are all connected. But in our society, we've shut it down. You know, we're so distracted. Oscar Wilde once said, you know, I was distracted by the distraction from the distraction. So there's so many levels out there,
yeah.
you know, from the obvious to the subtle, that tend to break that. And animals bring us back. They bring us back to our hearts, to the present, to so many things. And I you know, I tried hard to bring many of those out in the book.
So what are some of the lessons and the messages that you've experienced with animals? You know, people talk about animal messengers. Have you had that experience where they're communicating something with you that you may not get otherwise?
Absolutely. All life is messenger. All life is soul. The word animal, the root word for animal is anima, and anima means soul. So I was doing an interview with Deepak Chopra, and he asked me, so where do you draw the line? Do you draw the line? You know, what has consciousness, you know, what's alive, what isn't. And I said, no, there, I don't draw a line. So all life is messenger. We can receive messages through the heart, through energetic connections with trees, with plants, with all beings, be they human, animal, or other.
Mm-hmm. So one of your quotes that I saw on your Facebook page is how we treat animals is the true measure of our humanity.
Absolutely.
What do you think keeps people from, you know, from doing that? Why do we separate ourselves from animals? Why do we treat them as less than?
Well, it's what our culture has taught us. Not all cultures have that separation. In the indigenous cultures, where I've been, I've lived and traveled all over the world, and I spent several weeks with the Kalahari Bush people, the San people, and there are not many of them left, but they live in that awareness. So we have created that situation. We have created that division. It isn't necessarily something we're even aware of so much anymore here, but we have, and it's easy to bring it back, but we need to get out of our minds and get back into our hearts and our souls, and that's where animals offer us so much assistance, particularly our dogs and our cats, you know, our the animals we've brought into our homes. There, I call the dogs the bodhisattvas of love. They teach us, you know, and so they're in our lives every day waiting to help us.
So have you experienced healing yourself from being with animals? I know as a vet, you do a lot of healing for animals, but have you experienced your own healing as a result of being around them yourself?
Oh, absolutely. And healing is always a two-way street. And yes, in my personal life, I spent many years living overseas, working with endangered wildlife and helping animals that were rescued from the wildlife trafficking trade. So I've had many, many years experience in the wild. But I've also, you know, worked as a small animal vet. And so on so many occasions, animals come to us to heal us. And I personally, of course, have had those experiences of healing emotionally. Animals seem to show up when we need them the most. And I have several stories in the book mm-hmm. of that. And I hear these stories all the time in my travels. Yes. And there's so many ways animals heal us. I'll tell you a quick story. I was giving a talk about service animals, and I came across a quote by a prisoner in an Ohio inmate. And these are dogs enrolled in a dog training program, and the inmates in this prison were part of the program to the animals and also help them. And what they found, that there were profound changes in these inmates' lives, in the relationship with the dogs, so profoundly changed their lives that they had an entirely different perspective. And a quick quote I can read you from one of the prisoners: it gives me the feeling that I'm doing something in the world, some good, without just sitting here wasting my time. Just to be able to pet the dog, and I don't know, you can just loosen up and be a human being. Guys in here are all about looking tough and being tough. You can just get with the dog and just let that all go.
Beautiful.
And I thought that was so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and being
and
around animals gives people back their humanity, it sounds like. It gave this guy back his humanity.
And yes, and in so many cases, these are people who've felt and touched love for sometimes the first time in their lives.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. There's a song that you may mm-hmm. like called God and Dog. Look it up when you're done. It's a beautiful show. God
yes.
and Dog. Do you know the song? Yeah.
No, I don't, but it's wonderful.
Definitely check it out. I'll look it up during the break, and I can give you the you can look it up on YouTube. For those who are listening, it's a beautiful song about the juxtaposition, that there is no separation between God and dog. And we've always talked about how the spelling is similar. Now, can you
yes.
tell people how they can find you, your website, your book? They got to get that.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. My website, lindabender.org. Very
mm-hmm.
simple, lindabender.org. And you can go on there and you can find out all about the mischief I'm up to, because I really am dedicating my life to advocating for animals. And there's a lot going on. A lot of people can even get involved in. I have a nonprofit called From the Heart. And I have a section on my website that talks about something called Gathering Stories, the unexplained stories that have happened to you with animals.
Mm-hmm.
I'm collecting a database on that. And so there's a lot going on, and you can click on to my book and my Facebook also. So there's a lot going on Facebook. So
marvelous. So we're going to talk more
yeah.
after the break about the book and about the nonprofit. And look forward to catching you. And I have an animal story to share, too, after the break. So I will catch you folks on the other side.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What is the first step for you personally to finally make the shift you have been seeking? Find out right now by connecting with us on Facebook and on Twitter. My Vivid Life. Well, it's a state of being, complete well-being. Get there today with daily inspiration right to your inbox.
Ignite the new year with the new you at Sedona World Wisdom Days. Expand your wisdom with some of the world's greatest thinkers and spiritual visionaries of our time. The festival begins with legendary television producer Norman Lear, visionary icon Barbara Marx Hubbard, India Ari and her Songversation performance, and many more amazing presenters. There's a special seat waiting just for you. Reserve it now by visiting SedonaWorldWisdom.com. It's all about relationships on Vivid Life Radio. I'm your host, Edie Weinstein, and I'll be with you every Thursday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on www.vividlife.me. Join me and a growing gathering of friends worldwide.
Life Radio connects you with the most current, optimistic, and inspiring information on the planet. Get ready to open your mind, heal your heart, and start living your ultimate life. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for more details on our upcoming broadcast with the world's brightest minds sharing wisdom to uplift your spirit.
Welcome back to the next portion of It's All About Relationships. I'm your host, Edie Weinstein, and my guest is somebody who just came to me, that you're sort of like a spiritual Dr. Doolittle. I grew up watching that movie, so I thought about that. I don't know if you, because you talk to animals, and clearly they talk to you. So.
Well, you know, there's a real GPS system out there, and it's so odd you say that, because it gets more odd every day, because I continually hear these stories of how my book or I pop up in people's lives at the appropriate moment. So I'm quite amused by what you're saying. Yes, can I tell a very short story?
Oh, sure, absolutely.
That just happened to me. I was called by a friend who was participating in a conference, and there was the abbot from Mepkin Abbey, which is a wonderful, wonderful, it's a Trappist monastery down here outside of Charleston, South Carolina. And this father stood up, and he was one of the speakers, and he gave a story of an animal who came, this mangy dog that was almost dying, scroungy, horrible thing, came there, and it wouldn't leave him alone, and he didn't know what to do. He didn't know how to get rid of the dog. And one of the people who were staying there was reading a book called Animal Wisdom, Learning from the Spiritual Lives of Animals, and they gave it to Father because he was saying he was beside himself what to do with this dog. He read my book and realized that the dog was there, and that for a specific reason, and he understood that dogs can be teachers. It transformed all for him, and now the dog named Abby is the greeter and meter at the entire whenever people come to retreats, and is all around the monastery. Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me at all. There are a lot of animal therapy programs in rehabs. Part of my work is drug and alcohol education. A lot of the rehabs in the country have wolf programs, horse programs.
Yes.
I've done some volunteering recently. I told you I mentioned this story for working with this rescue horses, retired race horses. And I was doing some Reiki for a horse named Rally who had an injured hoof, and we really bonded. So there is that. What you talk about, he's definitely a presence in my life, and I'm going to go back and work with him some more. Now, the topic we were talking about initially was unexplained powers of animals heal us in our world. What has your experience been about those powers, if you call them that?
Well, powers, whatever you want to call it, but there is a body of evidence suggesting that human minds connect not only with each other, but with animals across space and time. And, I'm a scientist, but I'm also on a spiritual, mystical path. I have been my whole life. And so I've studied the research, and there is research out there, and it's amazing. And we hear story after story, and in the work of Rupert Sheldrake, my friend, who is one of the endorsers of my book and someone who is working with me on these databases of stories, we can't necessarily tell you how they happen, But they do happen, and that there is a connection, and it's almost like an energetic frequency that occurs. And what really, really beyond all doubt, in every case, devotion and love. Love is the magnet. Love is what draws. Love is what creates that intuitive psychic connection that, that enhances all these stories that we hear about.
So how can people, if they don't have animals in their lives, in their homes, are there ways they can do that, like volunteering, working in a, you know, in a setting where there are animals?
You know, there are really, my bottom line is there are two things we need to do in this life. And one is learning love, and the other is service to others. And the best way to learn love is to bond with an animal. And there are three very basic ways people connect to animals. One is observing, when we go out in the wild, when we see nature. Two is to have a close bond with a pet or companion animal in our homes or at work. And three is to bring it to that deeper inner level of spiritual connection, an intuitive connection. But people can start anywhere. You don't have to have your own companion animal. You can go to a zoo. You can go to a shelter. You can, I tell people who deeply want to connect with animals, if they don't have their own or even they can't do it with their own, I say go to a shelter and go to one of the rooms where they have cats that are roaming, because there's so many cats looking for homes. They don't have them individually caged. Go sit in the room with a cat and just sit and observe, and you will connect. And I also have in the book a whole chapter, simple things, simple ways people can help out in their communities, and also simple techniques can use to just begin to reconnect to that intuitive relation to animals. And it's in there. I can even offer one very quick suggestion.
Sure.
Spend a weekend in silence. Stop talking. And if you can, be with an animal and feel and intuit, feel those natural emotions, those instincts that come up when we lessen our emphasis on words. When we shut up a little bit, we connect more deeply. Yes.
Yeah.
And a day of silence.
That would be a challenge for me. I've got to work on that one. It's also important, I imagine, to teach children respect for animals. My grandson, who's four, has a, I guess, like a 12-week-old kitten who's big now. He just grew and leaps and bounds. And he's learning respect and playing kindly with the cat. Now, the cat's got to learn to play kindly with him, and that my grandson's not a cat toy. But
totally.
That
but you know,
too?
They get it on their own. They get it. Children and puppies and kittens, they get it, you know.
Mm-hmm. They seem to play
but
very nicely together.
It's crucial that we do bring our children back out into nature. You know, prayers, meditations, joy, love, they're amplified in nature. If we only allow and pay attention, it's really less about doing and more being aware. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So animals teach us how to be, not just how to do. They teach us how to be in the world and how to be with them. There's a symbiotic relationship is what I'm hearing. So
absolutely,
that's a beautiful thing. So once again, as we're getting close to the end of the show, can you tell people how they can find you, how they can order your book, how they can connect with you in the wonderful world?
Yes, it's such a short time, but the best way, the simplest way, again, is to go to my website, lindabender.org. You can like on Facebook, you can buy the book, and you can all click on that through, just get on my website. It's got information on everything.
And that's where they can also find out about the nonprofit From the Heart. They can look that up as well.
Everything I'm doing is on there. It's the best way to do it. Yes. And I always say one thing. You know, I encourage people to do something to help animals, because everybody needs to pitch in and help in any way they can. And speak the voice in your heart, and don't be afraid to make a lot of noise.
Marvelous. So we're barking, we're meowing, we're purring from all the way over here, folks. So thank you so much, Linda, for being on the show. And
my
great pleasure too. So next week my guest is love coach Annette Carpian, who's going to be talking about how to create a great relationship. So you know you're going to want to hear that one. So again, until next week, I thank you, I bless you, I love you. Namaste.
Thank you for joining us here on It's All About Relationships on Vivid Life Radio, opening your heart and mind to the possibilities that are there for you to create a life that is filled with love. Until next week, wishing you healthy and fulfilling relationships and sending hugs from here. Ignite the new year with the new you at Sedona World Wisdom Days. Expand your wisdom with some of the world's greatest thinkers and spiritual visionaries of our time. The festival begins with legendary television producer Norman Lear, visionary icon Barbara Marx Hubbard, India Ari and her Songversation performance, and many more amazing presenters. There's a special seat waiting just for you. Reserve it now by visiting SedonaWorldWisdom.com.
Vivid Life Radio connects you with the most current, optimistic, and inspiring information on the planet. Get ready to open your mind, heal your heart, and start living your ultimate life. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for more details on our upcoming broadcast with the world's brightest minds sharing wisdom to uplift your spirit.